and conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman says he'll ask for more money in the next state budget. He told a legislative study committee today the state needs to increase its investment in its public universities if they're going to stay competitive. Wisconsin ranks 43rd in the country in supporting four-year schools. The high cost of living is an issue in the race for president. Vice President Kamala Harris rallied 12,000 supporters in Eau Claire yesterday.
I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging.
Republican running mate J.D. Vance is speaking to reporters everywhere Harris stumps this week.
The most consistent complaint that I hear is that it is harder and harder for normal people to get by.
Harris is introducing her running mate, Tim Walz, to swing state voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Well, it's not a powerhouse in college sports, but Florida International Stadium will have one of the coolest names in college football. Armando Christian Perez, also known as Pitbull, has purchased naming rights for the school stadium. The creator of hits such as Give Me Everything and Timber paid $6 million for the rights to have the stadium bear his name over 5 years. The entrepreneur and philanthropist who did not attend college himself says he purchased the rights to inspire the community and create opportunities. Pitbull probably could have adopted a highway for far less cash. Theater fans are giving their regards to Broadway. Deadline reports that Broadway is having a stellar year with hits like Oh Mary and The Outsiders. The former is a comedy about Mary Todd Lincoln. The show has been pulling in $1 million a week since mid-July. And The Outsiders, a musical based on S.E. Hinton's book from 1967, is setting attendance records. In its 11th week of the current season, Broadway has taken in almost $370 million. That's the kind of money that makes you want to sing and dance. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers' injury list grows. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL training camp week 3, and the Packers' first-round draft pick, offensive lineman Jordan Morgan, is injured.
He had a shoulder. It's nothing long-term, but he's going to be out probably for a week or so.
Head coach Matt LaFleur, the Packers play the Browns in Cleveland this Saturday. Baseball, 8 runs and 16 hits. The Brewers beat the Braves last night in Atlanta, 8-5, to win the series. Pat Murphy.
You talk about how relentless our offense was today. It was relentless, and it wasn't a lot of extra base hits, but, you know, it was relentless.
And at the Olympics, U.S. sprinter Kenny Benarek from Rice Lake, Wisconsin, qualifies for the 200-meter finals with a time of 20 seconds flat.
I mean, I already knew what pace I was at, and for me, it was like, hey, I know I'm there. I just got to make sure to execute the race, step on the gas, and don't let up. I'm not surprised with what I ran. Only thing I was just hoping for was the wind to work with me, and it did, and I'm happy with my performance.
A replay of today's finals coming up tonight on NBC. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A lot of people, I think, are going to be seeing Twisters this weekend. I mean, the movie.
Welcome to Merlot at the Movies. So without spoilers, what did you think?
I actually really, really, really loved it. When it came down to the science, what they were talking about, the tips and tricks, I was impressed. It really helps, too, with people that are scared of storms. If you do want the full effect, see it in theaters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
You don't own me.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel. I'm sitting in for Maggie today. In this, the second hour of our afternoon broadcast, I am joined in the Civic Media studios by my outstanding producer, Jess, and together at the number 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, you can be a part of our discussion, asking questions, raising issues in connection with our syllabus this afternoon, lots of justice-related things. Lots of things that go to the issues about process, how we do cases, how investigations are pursued, and how grand juries work as well. Always focusing upon what we know to be true and those things that are not. Promised at the start of our broadcast this afternoon that we would also involve you in that discussion. Wanted specifically to identify and tell Steve from Milwaukee that we appreciate very much his comment. He says, prosecuting a former president for election fraud and violating national security is a sign of a functioning government. Indeed, it is, Steve. And again, we know that the simple return of a grand jury indictment does not mean that that particular individual, in this case, Donald Trump, is guilty. That's a determination made, if at all, by a trial jury that has to be unanimous in our system. That has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. That's after the presentation of evidence. And only after that is an individual like Donald Trump adjudged a felon or a misdemeanant, depending upon the charges against him or others. We know that that's exactly what happened in Manhattan, that case in front of Judge Juan Merchan, going to hearings in mid-September related to whether the judge will recuse himself, whether he will find that there were some immunities that attached, almost certainly will dismiss those petitions by the defense, and then proceed to sentencing, which is also a part of the very system, the functioning government, the functioning democracy that Steve talks about in his comment to us here at Civic Media. Appreciate that very much. Steve goes on to say, but letting him off the hook is authoritarianism, especially when he has been a fraud and a cheat his entire life. And again, that is a part of our system, right? It's premised upon the notion that no one is above the law. No one should be given immunity, which is the reason why that Supreme Court case is so very troubling, not only in its particulars with respect to Donald Trump, but changing the Constitution about who our president is. And ultimately, as Steve's good point underscores, the reason for our criminal justice system is, yes, to hold people accountable, to ensure that the crimes committed against the norms and the standards of our community are addressed, and that in those instances where the crimes have been proven by the prosecution beyond a reasonable doubt, there are consequences for those. And all that is called deterrence. That's also implicit in what Steve has written to us here at Civic Media. individual deterrence. Steve talks about the deterrence that he plainly wants to see with respect to Donald Trump. He describes him as a fraud and a cheat. You deter the individual from engaging in that kind of fraudulent cheating activity, stopping the specific person. That's called specific deterrence. That is accomplished by entering a judgment and a sentence, not only of a criminal conviction, but in many cases, imposing a term of imprisonment, detaining an individual, sending the message that your behavior has got to stop. That's individual deterrence, that's specific deterrence. And then there's a thing called general deterrence, which is also implicit, I would say, Steve, in your comments to us this afternoon. And that is this notion that the very fact that prosecutors prosecute, whether it's in Arizona or in Georgia or in the District of Columbia, other places around the country, also sends messages to all of us that if you engage in the similar kind of conduct in another state, here in Wisconsin, other places around our great union, you too could suffer the same consequences. And those consequences could be charging by a prosecutor, charging by a federal or a state grand jury, the requirement then that you appear in a trial court to answer those charges, due process given to you, equal protection of the laws. That's our aspiration in those processes. Defendants assumed innocent until proven guilty, all of those fundamental standards attached to you at the time that you are charged. But the deterrence is also to the larger community. And the message is, don't do this same kind of thing, or you too will suffer the same kinds of consequences. That is called general deterrence. And that's the message that these prosecutions, whether they are state or federal, send to everyone who is involved in this conspiracy to undermine the 2020 election, the fake electors, sending a message as we go into 2024 that if you do the same thing this time around, or if others are out there thinking of doing that same kind of thing, you too could suffer the same kind of consequence. All of that, a part of our purpose in doing prosecution. And plainly animating the decisions by prosecutors as they confer with grand juries, as they confer with investigators, to determine not only how a crime was committed, what happened, under what circumstances, but what the impact of the prosecution will be as to the specific defendant, the particular people who are on the receiving end of those charges, and also the broader community. And that broader community, that interest that Steve is implicitly conveying to us, that cannot be overstated. It is the sending the notion, the message to our community that the prosecution, the government, does in fact have the best interests of the community at mind, and that people who engage in violations of our laws will be brought to justice. That not only deters other people from engaging in the same conduct, but also gives satisfaction and some relief, some sense of confidence in government, that government is indeed protecting the interests of the constituents that it's there to serve. All of that a part of our criminal justice system, all of that a part of our process by which we bring people to the bar of justice. All of that also a part of our criminal justice system. We know as well that there is a civil department mechanisms in prosecution offices, in U.S. attorneys' offices around the country. There are also civil divisions. At Main Justice in Washington, D.C., there is an entire civil division that is responsible for handling cases not only there in Washington, D.C., but also cases around the nation. So we think about those cases as well. Among those civil cases are cases involving our environment.
I've agreed to a September 10th debate on ABC. So I guess he's game on. Game on. We've got at least one presidential debate. You know, give me a week or two, I'll be claiming it's the most important debate of your lifetime and you should probably watch. But maybe not today. There's also some New Market University Law School polling out. And we had Charles Franklin on the big show yesterday, and I mentioned at that time, he's coming back today. He's coming back for the happy hour at 5 o'clock today. But Mr. Franklin, Charles, Market University Law School pollster extraordinaire, is going to tell us in the national polling, this different polling than was discussed yesterday, but in the national polling, Kamala Harris is ahead of Trump nationally by 4 points. This is a stunner, folks. Just saw this on a Fox News graphic. Even Foxy News has to report in just 2 short weeks. Kamala Harris has jumped boldly into the lead of the national presidential race, according to what is a very reputable outfit, Marquette University Law School. Among likely voters, Harris receives 53%. This likely voters. Harris receives 53% and Trump 47%. That would be outside the margin of error. Harris up on Trump 6%. That is a bit stunning. In a multi-candidate field, again, this polling just dropped today about noon. In a multi-candidate field, in among registered voters, Kamala Harris receives 47%. This is everybody and all the candidates. Trump receives 41%. Again, she's up by 6 outside the margin of error. Now, Kennedy pulling 9% in this poll. Libertarian candidate Chase Oliver, 1%. The Green Party candidate Jill Stein, 2%. And independent candidate Cornel West, 1%. Again, this national polling. And it would seem to indicate Kamala Harris squarely in the lead, head-to-head against Trump, and in the all candidates in polling, Kamala Harris beating his ass. So we'll catch up with Charles at 5 o'clock today. We'll go inside the new National Marquette University Law School polling, get voter attitudes on a number of issues. Looking forward to Charles. Kind of feel like I got cut short yesterday. Hopefully you didn't feel the same. You know, not enough crudy in your diet. Here's a little. Obviously, and if you weren't listening yesterday, you missed a hell of a good show. Crudy took his ass up to Eau Claire, and I saw Kamala Harris. And I saw her new VP nominee, Tim Walz. And I saw a massive crowd of very enthusiastic Dems. I estimate the crowd greater than 15,000. The campaign said 12,000 plus. They were there. I was there. There are photos on the Devil's Advocate Facebook page. Believe me, there was at least 15,000 people there. There are still going to be some cars there today. Did I mention the field they had people parking in got very wet? And there were a number of people, and I was trying to cooperate before I had to run off and try to do a radio show with Dom. I was even in the field pushing a car yesterday, trying to help push it out. 5 or 6 of us, front-wheel drive, Chevy. And this lady's up to her wheel wells in mud that deep. And I'm just, and the first question before I start pushing, front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive? Because I'm pushing on the back, right? I don't want to be too close to the backsplash. But the other thing I can tell you, it was hot as hell out there. The sun shining bright. And I got a little bit of a Rudolph nose going on here. And I got a 2-day hangover, or at least I feel like it. I got a headache for the second day in a row. I got it from being in the sun yesterday, I suspect. You know, in the sun, in the air conditioning. Bad on my brain, bad on my head. Makes my head throb a little bit. But I will tell you, I am nothing in comparison to Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler. Oh my God, he went on MSNBC last night. He looked like a bright red-faced raccoon with white eyes. He had sort of the Trump, only instead of bronzer. He was so cooked. I mean, crispy sunburn. I was thinking, poor Ben, that looks painful. It's like you were at a rally of 15,000 or more in Eau Claire for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You got roasted up in that sun, just like yours truly did. But here I am doing it. No, Dom, he's back Monday, but we got Rich and we got you on the phones. Be a part. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Ready to revamp your life? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss is here to guide you. Experience the convenience of telemedicine appointments and medication delivery, making your health journey hassle-free. Experiencing weight gain, fatigue, or loss of libido? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss offers customized solutions to help you feel your best. Discover Semaglutide, a breakthrough in weight loss for just $300 a month. Visit RevampHRT.com or call 920-659-0249 to unlock your potential.
Whiter wheat classic or old-fashioned, with or without sesame seeds. With so many choices, selecting the right bun for perfectly grilled burgers, hot dogs, and brats can seem overwhelming. Baked right here in the Midwest, the Bakers at Village Hearth made your choice easy. As long as you see the familiar Village Hearth logo on the package, you know you're selecting the freshest, most flavorful buns available. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in, Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Thursday edition. I woke up this morning at the Oxbow Hotel, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, right in the downtown. Got to see Kamala Harris, got to see Tim Walz. And not only did I get to see them at a rally with like 15,000 or more, I also got to see them right across the street. They came to downtown Eau Claire. They brought the motorcade down. I was in the gallery at the Oxbow Hotel, which just means they have a cool little art gallery off the lobby. And I was sitting there in the window facing the local store, it's called. And, you know, they got lots of neat stuff. My wife actually accompanied me. Mrs. Crudy went up there, wanted to see her some Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. So she was a stowaway on the trip, and she went in that store, said it was a great store, but we saw those two there, along with the lead singer of Bon Iver, and Bon Iver, apparently his name's Justin Verdon, the lead singer. He also came over to the hotel, because apparently he's a lead investor in the Oxbow Hotel. Very nice little boutique hotel. If you have the means and you find yourself in the Eau Claire area, very nice place to stay. I think I mentioned before, they have the record players right in the room, and they have a record library right in the lobby. So when you check in, they encourage you. You can check out up to 3 records, and you can take them up to the room. Vinyl, you know, drop that needle, play them. They got a pretty good record collection. Last time it was Violent Femmes in the Doors. So woke up at the Oxbow, and, you know, I found myself looking for some of the coverage of the big event yesterday. And Fox News, found myself inevitably wondering what Fox News had to say about this rally. Well, I did see the air quotes Trump general press conference when he was claiming, when Kamala gets 2,000 people, they think it's a big deal. I get 107,000 in my rallies. And then he made other grandiose claims of large crowds. And I think I've mentioned on the show before, I went to Des Moines, Iowa. I once saw Trump at a rally estimated over 25,000. I would have guessed closer to 30 or 40,000. It was a big crowd. And that is the biggest Trump crowd I've ever seen, other than perhaps his inauguration day. That was a very big crowd, at least from ground level. If you're looking from ground level back at the Washington Monument, that's the tall one, right? The tall one? Yes, the Washington Monument. You look down the National Mall, and it did look like a hell of a lot of people. But of course, I didn't have the vantage point from behind where you realize there was like a row in front and then lots of dead space behind. But it looked like a lot of people that day. But this was the biggest outdoor rally I've gone to since 2012, the day before the election when Barack Obama came to Madison, Wisconsin, held a hell of a party on the hill, Bascom Hill. Like 30,000 kids showed up that day, and you could tell they were feeling real good. Well, the new polling, the Harris campaign, you know, cautiously optimistic, but new Marquette polling has Harris definitively up on Trump nationally, outside the margin of error. So anyways, I did flip over to Fox News, and I watched some today, and I was amazed and pleasantly surprised to see the new Marquette polling represented in a graphic. Like, the Fox News audience now knows Harris is jumping ahead of their guy. But Rich, gonna need your help. Laura Ingraham, perhaps you know her. She's part of the primetime lineup on the Foxy News. Well, I found it quite interesting. You know, she claimed her bona fides last night and made an ass of herself, but you can be the judge. Rich, if we could, let's play Laura Ingraham from the Laura Ingraham Show on Fox News. See if you note the error she makes in this statement. Please play it for the people, Rich.
And these are just facts, Mary Catherine Hamm. I mean, if you know Minnesota, and I don't well, especially Milwaukee, it's changed.
Milwaukee, Minnesota, it's not the same Milwaukee I knew when I was a kid in Minnesota. One must assume she's casting aspersions at Minneapolis and it's just so dumb she doesn't know the difference. But, you know, I find it quite ironic when they so obviously err and, you know, act like you're the dumb one. So that was Laura Ingraham last night, Milwaukee, Minnesota. Never going to be the same. Here is what the Cap Times is saying. And I would point out they're going to lean on some of the polling. But we are very close to what's going to be, I would say, a sleepy summer primary election next Tuesday, August 13th. You know, you got to go vote on Tuesday. Some of you are like, what am I voting for? It's a partisan primary. So unless you live like in the third CD where there's a couple of Democrats running to have the right to go and beat Derek Van Orden's drunken ass, well, you may not have to vote. You know, here in Madison, there's no Dems running against my guy, Mark Pocan, for instance. But there's plenty of heat up and down the ballot. There are plenty of legislative races, especially with the new fair maps. You got to go vote. You got to go plan to vote. And also, there are a couple of constitutional amendments on the ballot, and I'm going to recommend you vote no. And I'm going to read a little bit from Dave Zweifel at the Cap Times, share this with you, our fair audience. In New Marquette University Law School poll conducted, in a Marquette University Law School poll conducted earlier this year, the Wisconsin legislature did not fare well. In February of 24, the poll showed that the Republican-controlled legislature has never been more unpopular, and its presumptive leader, Robin Voss, sometimes called the state shadow governor, has never been more unpopular. Only 34% of voters approved of the job of the state legislature, with 58% opposed. And of the three branches of government in the state, the legislature was the only one with a negative rating. Minus 24, to be exact. The governor, Tony Evers, has a plus 7, 51% favorable, 44% unfavorable. While the state Supreme Court was at 45% favorable, 43% unfavorable. Voss himself was given only a 13% favorable rating by the poll's participants. And a major reason for those dismal numbers is undoubtedly the intransigence exhibited by the GOP legislative leaders in working with their Democratic governor the past 6 years. It has refused to release funding for the programs already approved, and it is thwarted, I tell you, gubernatorial appointments for no other reason than it can. So why should Wisconsin voters turn over to them what is now the governor's job to spend federal funds like the state receives for things like the environment, healthcare, roads, and disaster relief? Well, you shouldn't. I'll give you a little more of the Dave Zweifel, but the moral of the story, vote no twice on the constitutional amendments. And then come back and listen to the next Tuesday Devil's Advocates. Still got plenty of this show. Stick around.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Boy, any roadside stand or farmer's market these days is flush with fresh Wisconsin produce. But some of our growers, their season is already past. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Up in Door County, they're drawing to a close the Wisconsin cherry growing season. Jim Sequest is one of those that's wrapping things up already, looking ahead to 2025. He's also a member of the Wisconsin Cherry Marketing Board. And he says it is one of those industries where you need to capitalize on the good years and plan for the poor.
Yeah, it's been, I would say, a fairly depressed. It's a very much a feast or famine business where it's a very perishable crop, and the market is a volatile one where it can be very, very good, very good, higher prices, and then it can be very poor when there's too many. So, and we've been in that valley for a few years, and that's not keeping the interest up of a lot of especially smaller growers.
That's Jim Sequest from Sequest Orchard in Sister Bay up in Door County, also a member of the Wisconsin Cherry Marketing Board. He said 80 years ago there were more than 700 cherry growers in Door County. Today, less than 10.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compere Financial's AgriMindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compere's next AgriMindset webinar at compere.com/register. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
And again, a big crowd last night at State Fair Park in West Allis for the 2024 Wisconsin Governor's Blue Ribbon Livestock Auction. The Grand Champion Steer sold for $35,000 to Kenosha Beef, the exhibitor Luke Andis from Burlington. The Grand Champion Hog sold for $22,500 to Interstate Parking. A record-breaking Grand Champion lamb sale last night sold for $21,500 to Molson Coors. And for the very first time, the Governor's Blue Ribbon Livestock Auction included a meat goat. The very first meat goat sold for $10,000 to Meijer. We'll get you more updated figures on that coming up later today. That's a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm Pam Yonke.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
More clouds than sun today with a small chance of some spotty sprinkles this afternoon. Otherwise, winds are breezy, gusting up to 20 miles per hour. As highs today reach the mid-70s. We take quite a hit tomorrow and slide to the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Hey, Brewers fans! Scott Peck, broker with Addison Jones. Our agent's passion goes beyond helping you buy and sell your homes. We are also devoted to giving back to the community. From supporting local charities to sponsoring youth sports teams, Addison Jones is committed to having a positive impact on the areas we serve. So when you're ready to buy, sell, or build a home, choose Addison Jones. Call any of our amazing agents for more information at 920-235-0095. Addison Jones Real Estate. Your home, your community, our commitment.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Nikki Zirjav co-hosts the show with me on Friday. Our guests include Mark Hewson from Bell and Sports Medicine and live music with Matt Hafel. Help us kick off the weekend.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Rich, you playing the vinyl version? Be nice if we had some turntables in there. Two turntables and a microphone. And Rich, lightly screening your phone calls at 844-967-2789. A little bit more from Dave Zweifel at the Cap Times. We were detailing the unpopularity of the Wisconsin State Legislature. I mean, from a polling perspective, they suck. And you wonder why. Well, Dave Zweifel tells you in part why it is that the voters and the people polled here in the state of Wisconsin have such a god-awful opinion of the state legislators. When it couldn't get, according to Dave, conservative legislation passed the governor, things like outlawing private donors from helping fund elections, they, the Republican-controlled legislature, used their gerrymandered dominance to put constitutional amendments on the ballot. The 23-24 legislature has considered more constitutional amendments than have been proposed in the last 20 years. In the last 2 years, we've had more of these than the last 20 years. And the two that would take away the governor's power to direct federal funds are just the latest. Although the Republican leaders were perfectly fine with former gubernator Scott Walker, dispensing federal funds, they didn't like Tony Evers having the same power, especially when federal funds directed at COVID relief and later the Sweeping Infrastructure Act significantly increased Wisconsin's share of the one-time federal aid. So GOP legislatures engineered a way to get around the governor by passing two proposed referendum questions to amend the state's constitution. The proposed amendments would give them power to approve or disapprove the governor's decisions. What could possibly go wrong here, folks? And just to give the pair of referendums a better chance at election time, they placed them on the August 13th primary ballot, which will undoubtedly be a low turnout election where perhaps 12 to 13% of the state's voters could easily be enough to pass them. Aside from the machinations behind the two proposals, one would declare the legislature can't delegate the power to appropriate money. The second would give legislators veto power over the governor's funding choices. It would subject the timely dispersal of funds to the chaotic whims of 132 legislators who rarely can agree on anything. We saw a costly example of that when Wisconsin legislatures failed to convene in time to get $25 million in funding from the Federal CARES Act that was provided, you know, extra unemployment benefits during the height of the pandemic. To get the money, the legislature needed to tweak its jobless rules. But Republican leaders didn't schedule a timely session. And the League of Women Voters pointed out that, unfortunately, the proposed constitutional amendments questions threaten to delay the federal funds we rely on during times of crisis. Here's a quote. Our federal tax dollars are essential, supporting everything from farmers and small businesses to food banks and education. Adding unnecessary red tape will only slow down the process, keeping crucial resources from reaching those in need. We must ensure that our governor can allocate those funds efficiently and effectively. But Zweifel writes, there's nothing nonpartisan about the two questions voters will be asked to approve next week. They are part of a concerted effort by this highly partisan Wisconsin legislature to weaken the executive branch, a process that began even before Evers assumed the office after winning the 2018 election. Alarmed that their leader, Scotty Wanker, had lost, the Republicans quickly convened a lame duck session to remove some of the governor's powers that Walker had enjoyed during his tenure. And in the years since, the GOP legislatures have been unrelenting in throwing monkey wrenches into the machinery of state government, refusing to release approved funds for PFAS cleanup, secretly withholding money in land stewardship programs, blackmailing, and this was very galling, blackmailing the university system by withholding funds unless it stopped diversity efforts, making it next to impossible for the governor to fill vacant positions on everything from the Board of Regents to the National Resources Boards and all kinds of commissions and committees. Zweifel concludes,
Little wonder that just a third of Wisconsinites would give the legislature credit for doing its job. He encourages, as does Crudy, vote no next Tuesday to keep them from creating yet more mischief. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. 844-967-2789. I see you, Mark. Be a little patient. You could be first today. And the rest of you, join in behind Mark. A little more descriptor from the data wonk over at the urbanmilwaukee.com. What Tuesday's elections tell us. Bruce Thompson writes a little bit more. I know it's reading aloud, but, you know, bear with. Wisconsin's primary election next Tuesday is likely to be a low turnout, sleepy affair. In the partisan part of the ballot, many of the lines will be blank, except for an opportunity to write in a name. You know, you could always write in my name, folks. You ever need a fill-in-the-blank name, Crudy fits nicely in every fill-in-the-blank. Candidates' names will appear only if two or more Democrats or two or more Republicans are running for the same office. And with one exception and two constitutional amendments, no statewide races will appear on the ballot. The exception is the Republican primary for U.S. Senate to watch three candidates running against Tammy Baldwin in November. However, of the three, only Eric Hudvey has gained much attention from the press and or other places. Despite this, the run-up to the election raises several ongoing issues for Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Now, data wonk Bruce Thompson's going to take a look. The first is a tendency for some suburban politicians to blame Milwaukee for their problems. The second is the illustration of the tendency of Republican leaders in the state legislature to try and expand their powers over the other branches of government, i.e. the constitutional amendments. So, he continues, two recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel articles illustrate the tendency to blame Milwaukee. Claudia Levins and Eva Nguyen, the reporters covering the two candidates running for Waukesha County District Attorney, note that both candidates have been blaming residents of Milwaukee County for most of the county's problems. That's Waukesha County's problems. You know, our problems all stem from a different county. The articles examine the two candidates, both Republican, running for Waukesha County District Attorney. And since no Democrats running for the position, the winner of the primary is the effective winner. Now, examining the historical data, the reporters conclude the cases involve residents of two counties are about equal. However, they found that Waukesha County residents outnumbered those from Milwaukee County in more serious misdemeanor and felony charges. By comparison, they found that significantly more Milwaukee County residents than Waukesha County residents were charged with lower-level traffic offenses such as operating a vehicle with revoked license or suspension. Now, they quote Brown University sociology. I almost said Scientology. It's a different thing. Sociology professor Jason Eason is noting that violent crime, in particular, doesn't spill over from neighborhood to neighborhood across racial lines. Data from the Milwaukee Homicide Review Commission's dashboard were considered with Eason's comments. Now, he's using graphs. They don't work on the radio, so I'm going to skip that. But let's talk about the constitutional amendments for a minute. The second interesting aspect of the upcoming primary election is Wisconsin's gerrymandered legislature attempt to use the constitutional amendment process to shift power to itself from the governor. And there are two elements to this strategy used by the legislature to ensure the proposals would pass. First, the proposal was structured as amendment to the Constitution rather than as an act, thus avoiding a veto from the governor. You know, their job is to pass acts, and the governor's job is to decide whether or not they're meritorious of becoming law. Well, Tony doesn't sign so many of their crazy bills, certainly not ones that would handcuff him and make our government more inefficient so they could have some sort of partisan whatever. So, you know, that's hence the constitutional amendments. They write on. Data wonk Bruce Thompson at the online daily urbanmilwaukee.com writes, second, when it turned out that last year's spring election was likely to have high turnout,
the legislature delayed action on the amendments so they would be considered at this month's election, whose turnout was likely to be very low. The assumption here is low turnout elections favor Republicans. And two constitutional amendments are on Tuesday's ballot. The second would end the governor's ability to spend federal monies without the legislature's approval, thus ending the governor's ability to react quickly in crisis. What a time to handcuff the governor in the middle of a crisis. And nobody seems to know what the effect of the first would be. It would provide the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how monies shall be appropriated. Now, Thompson writes, one possibility is that it aims to inject the legislature into the execution of Wisconsin law. If so, it would seem to violate the principle of separation of powers. So, we got Constitutional Amendment 1 with an unclear motive. It's not written for clarity's sake. None of these are. They're written really to confuse the electorate. You don't know what in the hell you're voting on here. I know there are some very good people that have early voted that I've heard reports voted yes. No, that's not the right answer. You vote no on these. But they didn't know. And they were confused. Why? Because they're written in a confusing fashion. The wording of these constitutional amendments don't tell you what they do. They don't tell you anything. It's very it'd be like putting a trigonometry question on a test, not giving you the input numbers you would need to actually answer the question and saying, answer the question. Well, I don't know the answer. You still got to pick. Pick an answer. Hamburger A or hamburger B? Well, I'm going to tell you, pass on the hamburgers. You don't eat them. And they aren't really hamburgers. They probably have E. coli in this bad analogy. So anyways, vote no on the constitutional amendments. Vote yes on calling the devil's advocate show. Doesn't cost you nothing. It's free. You can do it at least once per day. I'm trying to bring up my little thing here, but Mark from the SAC, you're going to be first today. Thank you for your patience. What do you got for me, Mark?
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. And maybe for those folks that voted yes, they should reclaim their ballot because they voted early, because you can reclaim that ballot and recast it and vote no. I mean, that anytime anything is so confusing, you should actually just vote no as a matter of, just should be your gut reaction, because you should know there's some effery that they're trying to pull, our Wisconsin legislature is trying to pull. That it is just sad that they're, you know, that, and the fact what just galls me to no end is that these are not written in the constitutional language. They're written in confusing language as well. We'll come up with something later on for the actual language, but you just let us do this, and that's just nonsense. I mean, that it is anathema. It should be anathema to any citizen that to allow the legislature to pull this crap, because the Constitution is too important to allow them to play these kind of little games with it. I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves.
But you know, Mark, they're going to say this is direct democracy. We're taking it to the people of the state of Wisconsin. You're voting on these constitutional amendments, whether or not we've written them in a cogent way, whether or not you could possibly discern what we're asking you to determine, or whether it's going to look like trigonometry on the page. Mark, they're claiming it's democracy at its best.
Hogwash. It's fascism at its worst, pure and simple.
Well said, Mark. Appreciate your call. Thanks for listening. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And there is a proper way to eat the cream puff. And we have a Tony Evers cream puff tutorial. I don't know if you know, but with the state fair going on, Tony Evers has declared August 10th. What is that? Saturday? August 10th. This Saturday. Cream puff day all across the great state of Wisconsin. But the question becomes, how do you eat the cream puff? Tony says there is only one proper way. So I'll share it with you so you can enjoy the way the governor enjoys them. Holy mackerel. Stick around. More Devil's Advocates. A cream puff tutorial is only Tony Evers can give it. And you can also join us, 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates. Happy Thursday to us all. All night long.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP Senior Account Executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Hey, it's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report. Heard weekday mornings at 5 right here on WISS. If you like food, if you like farmers, tune in and learn. 5 a.m. on Air Support 93.3 FM and 1100 a.m. Oshkosh.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is a Madison night market evening right down here on State Street. I'm looking out the window. Much hubbub going on. They're assembling the wares. People are coming down. They're closing down State Street, you know, so you can walk and be safe down here. But come on down State Street, a Madison night market evening. I believe there'll be a contingent of Civic Media people down there. I bet they got swag. Come see them. 200 block of State Street. I may even poke my nose down there after 6 o'clock, sort of red and sunburned, Rudolph style. Appreciate you listening. 844-967-2789. I will be checking the text line. Haven't done so yet because I've got important news. According to the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, you know him, you love him. He's Tony Evers, and he's got some advice on the proper way to eat a state fair cream puff. And he has declared August 10th, cream puff day all across the state of Wisconsin. That used to be something you said about your opponent, right? This guy's a cream puff. I'm going to whoop his ass. Apparently, not in Wisconsin. And I will make a small confession. I think I've eaten one cream puff in my life. Not a fan. And the reason I'm not a fan is because they're so freaking messy, which I guess is the point of why Tony Evers has a special way of eating a cream puff. According to the Journal Sentinel, this is the most important journalism you're going to hear all day. How do you eat a cream puff at the Wisconsin State Fair without making a mess? Tony Evers style. Governor Tony Evers, arguably one of the most vocal supporters of the annual tradition, has a way to enjoy the sweet treat in order not to make a complete fool of yourself. Well, that never stopped me before, Tony. You have to get it in half. That way you're not getting it all over yourself, according to Evers. You kind of take it, twist it a little bit, and then one side comes up. And that's the only way to eat it, Evers says. I know it's a lot more fun to get it all over your face and all over your clothes, but I prefer eating it rather than worrying about taking a shower. It's still okay to take a shower, Tony. I tease. Another part of the eating a cream puff, Evers style, taking a few home, putting them in the freezer, and later cutting them in half with a sharp knife. That cuts down the mess even more. It's a perfect food, Evers tells the Journal Sentinel at the Wisconsin State Fair Wednesday afternoon. Now, there is a history of politics and cream puffs at the state fair. Wisconsin governors and cream puffs have a long history. The original cream puff debuted at the fair in 1924 at the request of John Blaine, Wisconsin's 24th governor, who wanted to showcase the state's dairy industry. Former Republican gubernator Scotty Wanker championed the cream puff because he's a loser. No, I'm just reading here. Former Republican governor Scott Walker also championed the cream puffs at the state fair, requesting $6 million in his state budget in 2017 to renovate and expand the cream puff pavilion. $6 million? Wanker? And in 2021, Evers encouraged people to get a COVID-19 vaccination at the state fair and sweeten the deal with a free cream puff. Oh, those were the good old days, weren't they, Tony? This year, Evers issued a proclamation declaring Saturday, August 10th is Cream Puff Day across Wisconsin in honor of the food's 100th anniversary at the fair. And there was some pushback on the governor's move. Of course there was. You know, Robin Voss took objection with it being declared Cream Puff Day. Let me read from this reporting. Speaker Robin Voss said Evers should be paying more attention to issues like crime and inflation rather than cream puffs. They should recall your ass again. I read on. State fairs are a common summer appearance for governors, senators, and other politicians, especially in the Midwest. Neighboring Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, the new running mate of Vice President Kamala Harris, recently went viral for going on a slingshot ride with his daughter in 2013. And Evers said he's been attending the state fair with his wife, Kathy, for 55 years. Tony, that's longer than I've been alive. Sometimes he can be spotted serving up the cream puffs to customers. Here's a quote. We usually end up talking about politics, something that's concerning them or something that they think went well, Evers said. They don't usually ask me about cream puffs because they're already in line. They've already purchased it. It's mainly, how's it going? Or, why did you do this? Or, why didn't you do that? Oh, Tony, he's a dynamo, this guy. And a big cream puff fan, apparently. Evers also attended the state fair last week, posting a video of himself standing with a brat in a cow-printed baseball hat at his hip. It was a reference to the Brat Summer, a meme that has resonated with young voters after pop singer Charlie XCX endorsed Harris. It's just a fun place. People are here not to talk about politics too much. They're here to have fun. It's always fun having people recognize you and having a chance to talk to them. Yes, it is a Brat Summer here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, it was funny. I think it was Tim Walz yesterday at the rally in Eau Claire. He was talking about things that paired. Maybe it was Evers. Evers did a little preliminary speech before Walz came to the stage. And he was trying to pair up things. And the thing that gained the most enthusiasm from the crowd of about 15,000 in Eau Claire, the pairing that just says Wisconsin. Brats and beer. And 15,000 people just said, that's enough. They'd heard their epiphany. That's all they need to hear. That they roared for. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. David, we'll get you next hour if you stick around. The rest of you, be like David. Call the greatest radio show ever. 844-967-2789. Trump had a general press conference where he generally was rambling and quite crazy. Also, new polling, Marquette University Law School polling, national polling. Harris leads Trump by a handful outside the margin of error. We'll talk with Charles Franklin in the happier hour. More Devils.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Nepo baby adjacent Lara Trump shares her thoughts on Kamala Harris's qualifications to be president. Oh, don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ready to revamp your life? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss is here to guide you. Experience the convenience of telemedicine appointments and medication delivery, making your health journey hassle-free. Experiencing weight gain, fatigue, or loss of libido? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss offers customized solutions to help you feel your best. Discover Semaglutide, a breakthrough in weight loss for just $300 a month. Visit RevampHRT.com or call 920-659-0249 to unlock your potential.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.